top with Giordano. Two on one. Michael Backlund shoots. Scores!
Penning. Great move. Here is Penning. Shot. Scores!
Comes free to Shane. Locked by Lucic. Ran him over.
And he wins it back to Foley. Scores!
No way! Oh, my! No way!
Kurt Fiddler backhand.
Oh, my!
It is. Now we're waiting.
Slides it in front, scores! Jason
Chimura! Checked in by Matthews, here it is, scores!
5 minutes into overtime, in game five, and McDavid scores! Game winner, series winner, for Connor McDavid!
I have been a murder man for all my life, and I'll be a murder man.
When you hire a contractor, you want things to go smooth.
Smooth as a driveway poured by Pete's Concrete.
You want a solid guarantee.
Solid as a basement floor by Pete's Concrete.
You want Pete.
Pete's Concrete. For sidewalks, patios, your leaky basement, Pete lays his reputation down with every job, and he offers you finishes and colors you won't find anywhere else.
You want someone who proudly puts their name on the work they do.
Pete puts his name in concrete.
Pete's Concrete.
Welcome back to the 2 Months Podcast, presented by Pete's Concrete. I'm your host, Joshua Marshall. And we got a roundtable back with us. We love doing these. Brody loves doing these a lot too. So let's welcome in Brody McIntyre, closer. How's it going?
Going great today, buddy. Good day. Played my first round of golf this morning. First off the tee box, 9 a.m. Did a little work.
A little chilly.
It was a little chilly first thing in the morning, yeah, and then a little frostily. Nice. Then work. Then came home and watched the Masters. Big bowl of pasta. Now I'm having a scotch talking to you guys.
Nice. You just shared, you sold the house too. So things have been busy, it looks like. Eh?
Things were busy. That one was out west of Enoch. That was way out there.
Yeah. Well, that's good. The closer is closing for sure.
That's right.
And the other voice is Clay Vanderham. Vandy, how's it going?
Vandy is dandy, except explain to me how Tampa scores 2 goals in the first 10 minutes of the fucking hockey game and can't get over 2.5 for me to cash in. Like, anyway, hey, no, I'm good. Vandy is dandy.
Vandy is dandy. There we go. Yeah, no, Vandy is dandy. Oh, the Sens pulled it off, eh?
They won in a shootout, man.
There you go. Yeah.
No, you know what? I watched the Masters and I've, because you listen to Spittin' Chicklets when I'm driving on the road and shit. I've been watching the Frozen Four. That is good hockey, boy.
Oh, it's really good.
Those kids, they can fly. So I watched the Denver upset BU earlier, and then Boston College is playing Michigan right now. So,
an Albert boy on Michigan. Well, not originally from, but he came here and he was like 13 or 14.
Who's that?
Ethan Edwards. Slick defense, okay. Little guy. He's good.
It's good hockey. Mike Food is going down. Our friend, he was just on with us this week. He's going down to help the Spit and Chicklets guys out, doing some content there. So definitely fun tournament and some good debates. And
Bosco, how are you?
You know what? I'm doing okay. I actually I was with my mom the other day, and I finally kind of signed up for some mental health help. I did a little bit before, so just been struggling a bit, not gonna lie, but I guess I've been somewhat vocal about it. But I got my kind of first session tomorrow, and then I do about 3 a week leading into starting up next week. So my first one's tomorrow, and then I got some good help going on. So appreciate
it. You can always do those, buddy. It helps. Yeah. Jeez.
Yeah. So I did, obviously, when my dad passed away, I did quite a bit of it, to be honest. And then that's obviously 25 years ago. I was kind of doing pretty good there for a bit. And then, some things change and things happen in life.
Hey,
and
it's all right. Reset, yeah. Man. Yeah. Just a nice little reset. And
yeah, that's it. So
get the train back on the tracks and mind right, and
Yeah.
Spending time with mom always helps too, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, she, I guess somewhat I've been a stranger. So my mom said to me, she's like, I finally got my son back. So that was kind of nice.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Yeah. So
there you go.
Too. And
go, buddy. Onward and upward.
Yeah, exactly. So no, that was good. I was at Shatify today. I got my hair cut. So we're looking all kind of ready to go for the nice weather. We're
spiffy. Getting
here. Yes, spiffy. And yeah, go check out Shatty and the team there. So always good conversations with Shatty on many different levels. So it's always fun to do. And yeah, I just kind of want to throw out a little bit of support to our good friend Milan Lucic. You know, just posted something the other day about him, and just always thinking of that guy. You know, hopefully better days are going for him. And you know, the hockey community is a pretty great one. And you know, Matt Benning just coming from his surgery, and always thinking of those guys, people that have been great to us. And you know, Jason Chimera, his team won, so stick taps to his team there. The Pandas, good job with them. So a lot of good things going on in that front of people that are around us and always cheering them on. And you know, Brody's kids, you know, won the provincials. So a lot going on there. So it's fun. It's fun times. And I think the biggest debate or the biggest conversation let's jump into, I wouldn't say it's a debate, but just something pretty cool that we're going to see. And Brody, you know this kid very well. Landon DuPont, you know, getting exceptional status out of the WHL. What can you tell our listeners that maybe don't know him that much or about him or his skill level? What can you kind of say about him and the family he comes from too?
Well, first of all, the family's unbelievable. Just Mickey and Aaron are wonderful people, right? They're very down to earth, very real, very honest, and just they're great people, right? They're not, you don't see them out pounding their chest that their kid's the greatest thing out there. I watched it. Listened to a podcast actually with Mickey, and he's saying, the guy was just saying how great his kid is. And he goes, hey, at the end of the day, does it really matter if he's good at 14? Really doesn't mean much at all. So he's got to keep going. This is just the starting point for him. But I've been lucky or unlucky, depending on how you look at it, to he's played against my little guy Ozzy's team for since they were 8 and many times a season. And I think that our team came on top once playing against him. You know, he's get 2 or 3 or 4 goals every game. He was just, since he's been 8 up until this year, he's been way better than everybody. Mm-hmm. And he'll be, it's crazy to say, in, I don't know what, I haven't done the math yet, maybe 6-7 years, he's going to make him $10 million a year, right? He's going to be the next, he's going to be the next Kale McCarr, man. He's phenomenal talent. Like to dominate U18 at 14 years old is insane. And he used to dominate everything. I'll tell you a funny story, actually. When we did the Ozzy and him played together the one time in the Brick. So they were 10 years old.
Yep.
And at the end, they have this jersey. Everybody goes, all the kids go on the ice, all the parents, and they all exchange jerseys with everybody. So he was obviously a sought-after commodity for everybody wanted his jerseys. So he had brought out all his practice jerseys from, or maybe not all. I think he just had one or two, just from leading up to it. They had, you know, power play jerseys. He's on the blue line. He's on this line. And so he put that extra one sitting on the bench. Somebody yanked it. So what? Somebody knew at 10 years old, I'm stealing this kid's jersey because one day this is going to be worth a few bucks. So
no way.
I'll be interested to see when he's 18 to 30, if that ever shows up on eBay, just a random Team Brick jersey, practice jersey.
What a scum move.
Oh, and you know what I said? There's no way that was a kid. That was an adult.
There's no fucking way a kid would do that.
There's no
way.
That's
a scumbag parent.
That's a scumbag parent trying to make a few bucks.
Probably from fucking Connecticut.
Yeah. Yeah. But honestly, though, Landon is a wonderful kid and a phenomenal talent. And I have no doubt we're going to be watching him on TV, paying to go see him play because he's that much better than everybody. And he always has been. Yeah. And remember all the hoofla and everybody, half ice hockey, this, that, the other. He grew up playing until he came to the Brick. He played half ice hockey. He'd come back and play spring hockey here when his dad's season was over in Germany. So he'd play a little bit, you know, a month or two here and there, full ice hockey. But other than that, his whole life, he played half ice hockey.
Wow. That is
there you go.
That development for sure. And
yeah.
And how far that goes, right? And just, you know, adapting to something that is unnormal in a way. So, Vandy,
it's cool to see though, man. He's gonna be, it's awesome.
Yeah,
I love it.
That's cool. I do remember him playing the brick tournament with your kid and Rupper's kid, and that was obviously pretty fun to watch and see him at that level. And then obviously how many years later now, and he's still progressing. Vandy, what you saw of him, and obviously getting that exceptional status, the first defenseman to get that in the WHL too.
Well, first of all, the brick was four. That was 4 years ago.
I know.
Jesus Christ. That was pretty, I remember. Horrible. You know, you remember watching him and Ozzy and Jackson, and you know, unfortunately Luke got injured. But yeah, I mean that was a great team. And then I think you guys played Connecticut in the final, right?
We did. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was the. I mean, there, the brick obviously. Now that's kind of like the focal point for these top high-end kids to come out of. So they're, I mean, you knew right then. And then you watch, like, I don't watch the CSS. Is that where you played CSS?
Yeah.
So, but you watch highlights on Instagram and you're like, this kid, and like, you forget too, you think he's a forward, but he's a fucking D-bag. Like, what? So, yeah.
He's 3 years older than him.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. His dad was a good hockey player too. Like, he played pro. Didn't he have a cup of coffee in the NHL too?
He did. Yeah, he was played in the Dub, and then he went to Calgary Flames draft pick.
Yeah,
and ended up in Germany for I don't know how many years, 7, 8, 10 years.
Yeah, nice. He played about 20 games or 20 so games in the National Hockey League. So
yeah, that's pretty good, man. That's pretty amazing, actually.
The easy part's happening. They're getting drafted. The hard part is now you gotta. Continue getting better and better, right?
100%.
I agree with Elliot Friedman says. If you play even one game in the National Hockey League, that says something about your efforts to get there, of how hard it is to get there, right? So one game to, 1,300 plus games or whatever it is, or 1,700 games, you know, is still says a lot about the willpower to get there. But yeah, anything else you want to kind of shed on that, Vandy, on like how exciting this is?
No, I mean it's exciting for him, his family, and you know, at the end of the day too, it's exciting for guys, you know, I would imagine for kids like Ozzy and Luke, just speaking, because they're excited for him as well, and I mean the whole hockey community is tight, and anytime something like that. It's like one of their own, you know, it's a big deal to get exceptional status. It's not, especially in the Dub, it's not that easy.
Well, two players in the Dub and 9 players in total, right?
Like, right, and 3 defensemen ever to do it. But again, let's see what happens here when, you know, you got chicks and booze and, you know, not saying that he would, but that's, you know, that's telltale sign. He's well on his way to be making the mark in the NHL, but again, I mean, at the end of the day, his dad's right. He is only 14 years old. A lot can happen within 4 years of a draft year, but
we'll be paying to watch him.
Yeah.
And you know, 100%. It's a good reminder to, you know, you go to games, you see some, not very often, luckily enough, it's pretty rare now where you see parents losing their minds and yelling and banging on the glass. His parents just sit there and cheer for everybody. Like, they're awesome. So,
supportive.
There's the best player in his age getting exceptional status. His parents are just
good on him, man.
Good as it gets.
Yeah. A little tip to that. Like, obviously, you guys know some agents too, but the agent I'm close with, that stuff gets written down. If you're that parent that's freaking out and screaming, but all that stuff gets written down in a scouting report and a back to an agent. So, don't do it at all. They are watching that stuff too. They're not
the binder. You can hear the binder click, the piece of paper come out, binder click back, and it goes all the way to the end of that binder.
Yeah.
Opens up again. And
I seen it firsthand. I've sat.
Yeah, dude. It's,
I sat with like, some agents and I was like, what are you doing? And they're like, this is what we do, man. Like, and one agent did tell me, he's like, I've never represented a kid where the parents' name were on the scouting report. Not once. I'll never do it. So, it doesn't matter how good the kid is. They just won't do it. So
just stay the fuck out of the way.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
No, it's definitely not. It's not worth the headache. You don't need it. So Obviously, yeah, we were talking about, let's transition over some NHL stuff here. Sidney Crosby willing his team into the playoffs. They're in a playoff picture today, Brody. You know, you kind of put some comments about him in the internal group chat, but what can you say about him? Now he's a top 10 in the league for scoring all time, in the all-time record. So 3-point night tonight and a big win in overtime over the Red Wings. Tough loss for the Wings too, but Sidney Crosby, Brody, what can you say?
He is a hockey player, right? He's not, like, you watch him now, he's not fast. He doesn't shoot hard. He doesn't run guys over. He just does everything the right way. He's on the right side of pucks. He wins every faceoff, it seems like. Scores goals. He sets guys up and makes everybody better. And he's just out competing NHLers. That's hard to do. And he's doing it every night, seems like, for the last, what, 2 months straight?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. And he's, what is he, 35, 36?
Yeah, 35, turning 36 this summer, I believe. Yeah.
Which is incredible, right? The guy's half, 10 years younger than him. And he's, I got this, don't worry. And he's just telling his whole team, I got this, boys. Let's go to work. It's happening. It's great to see. I love it seeing him play.
Yeah. Vandy, your thoughts? Like, it's just special to see that, right?
Well, Brody hit it. I mean, he makes the great players make players around them better. Look what he's done for, you know, Rust and you know, Kunitz for that matter, right?
Kunitz, yeah.
I mean, you know, he's willing his team into the playoffs. A lot of what Ovechkin's doing too, it's kind of a, I was thinking about this the other day watching. You know, it's funny. We used to watch Washington and Pittsburgh battle for the top spot. Now we're watching them both on the decline of their careers, but they're battling for a playoff spot still, and they still have that drive and that determination. And with what Crosby's doing is, like, you'd love to be a fly on the wall in that dressing room, because I don't know how – I don't know if he would – if he's very vocal or not. I'm not sure about that, but I would imagine he's, like – you can just tell by walking into the room how he's ready to go night to night, practice wise. I mean, we all have heard the stories about him practicing hard and how he goes 110 and he forces. Nobody realizes that in itself can drive players to be better without, you know, a passing through seven skates or whatever it is, but drive, that determination is, you know, through osmosis, that team just gets better.
Yeah. Brody, is he a top five player all time today? Like, all time?
Oh, he's got to be. Those are so tough to say, Bosco. They are. Go back 100 years, right? Like, but he's got to be, doesn't he?
Yes.
He's been doing it. He's been a top player in the NHL since he's 18 years old. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how he's not.
No, I would agree. You know, and he's obviously.
He's got 1,000 assists.
I know. It's nuts, right? Like, I agree. Because I pose that question because Pierre LeBrun tweeted it out tonight, and, you know, I couldn't agree more. Like, it's special to watch, and, you know, what he's able to do on a nightly basis is it's unreal. And I just remember him in Edmonton and that reporter putting the camera in his face talking about, you know, the future and, like, the year's almost over and they're not going to make it. And, like, he's just all business. Like,
he's the best hockey player in the world.
Yeah. Yeah, you gotta.
Yeah, he's the best at everything, right? He's so good.
Yeah,
the players voted for that too in that player NHL player vote, right? Like, they said he's the most complete player. I think it was like 39% of the players.
If you're building a hockey team right now, you're building it behind Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You know, so,
and he's gonna play till he's in his 40s, like, for sure, right? Like,
100%. Yeah,
he's not just gonna all of a sudden hang it up when he's this good.
Does he end in Pittsburgh?
I say yes.
I say yeah. I think they make the playoffs. I think they get in, you know, as much as, you know, Kyle Dubas has made so many questionable moves throughout his career. And, you know,
well, that's why I ask, because Kyle Dubas, he's going to fuck that team up.
Well, he's already kind of did it with the Carlson.
Yeah.
So it's you know, he's already, look at the moves that he's done in Toronto that has left them, you know, not the greatest shelf to
so you guys think with. He finishes in Pittsburgh, he doesn't have that drive to get number four
just because he's got the three already that he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you? You think he's out of there or what?
I don't know. Like, for me, obviously I'm not anywhere close to the same mindset as him, but the fact that how do you keep that drive going, knowing that you're kind of like, they're realistically, they're in a retool, rebuild. They're not at the top of the,
they're only in this position because of him right now. Like,
right. So how long can you sustain that?
Yeah.
And it just, if he does stay and he's continuing to make these drives to the playoff, like, it just, again, it shows you he is, there's no other player in our era that has that drive and that determination that he's has.
Yeah.
And we've seen it since he was 14, you know. Yeah. CBC does a expose on him and shit. Like, it just, for me, it would be, I guess for me, it would be easier to go to like a Colorado, Detroit, that kind of, those up and not Colorado, but Detroit, Buffalo, even maybe, and just where you can give them help and you've got a surrounding cast, as opposed to, you know, at the tail end of your career, you have that continuous mental, because it's mentally, it's fucking draining. Forget the physicality. I mean, he's well and shit, but that mental drive and grind day in, day out, where you're fucking going and here, follow me, kind of.
He likes that though, right? He's,
right?
He's,
yeah.
Yeah.
He loves that.
I imagine
being on any of his teams and you're a dude, you're a third line right winger, you're whatever you are, anything below, any player really, that you're below him. And you're, you know, you had a couple cocktails, you get to the rink and a practice, and Crosby's on the ice.
Yeah.
Or they do just a simple battle drill, and he's the hardest working guy. Yeah. He's staying out after. You're like, oh, man, I gotta take my game up, right? It just makes everybody better.
Yeah.
I just remember, like, the stories you hear, especially during the run when they played the Predators, is, you know, after the games, didn't matter what the game, kind of game it was, if it was a long overtime game, just a regular 60-minute game. And obviously this is probably something he does a lot, just not during that time. But, you know, this is the Stanley Cup playoffs. You just played 82 games, and now you're playing 2.5 months of hockey. You're in the Stanley Cup final, and you're in the gym grinding still. Like, it's just – it's the task isn't over yet, right? So it's like
– he's a different breed, man.
It is.
Different breed.
He is a different breed. You know, you're
– and he's a different breed amongst an entire – group of different breed of humans.
Correct.
Professional athletes are different breeds in general, right?
They don't. Animals.
And he makes them look silly.
Yeah, it's quite remarkable to see. You're seeing, like, I would, we'll get to the Oilers in a second here, but just in a bit, like, you've seen some glimpse throughout the year, like, McDavid is somewhat getting there. Like, I'll be honest, that I know it is a Leaf fan or whatever, but it just, there are spurts throughout the year where you're just seeing it with Connor, where it's there. Like, I would say the biggest thing maybe that stands out is that they lost 5-0, their worst game of the season against Dallas. And then the first shift the next night, like two nights later against Colorado, McKinnon's going up the ice offensive zone and McDavid just takes the puck away from him. Just like, you know, like, that's the two of the best players right now, or, you know, top five best players. And it's just some that did to me when I saw that, it was a 0-0 game. It was 13 seconds into the game. Like, at then, and obviously the Oilers won 6-2. It was a good night. Like, Colorado played in Minnesota the night before, but still,
yeah, they were tired.
Like,
make no mistake about it, Crosby makes his teammates better.
Yeah.
But he makes the better players, the great players in the league, better.
Yeah.
100%. McKinnon drives off him. McDavid drives off him. They all watch.
They're off. Yeah.
All, you know, back in the day, you used to be able, okay, well, you go to the Olympics, spend 10 days with like-minded individuals. You get to pick the brain of Crosby and this. We haven't had that. McDavid hasn't had that. McKinnon, for that matter, hasn't had that. So these guys have to watch, maybe, and learn. And you know, they go to All-Star games, talk to them, whatever they do. But he's driving.
Yeah.
McKinnon's taking the step.
McKinnon with him in the summertime with Marchand too, right? So
Marchand's another one, right?
Yeah. You've heard those stories of them training together. They're insane.
No shit.
They're always on the opposite teams, and it, you know, and to get an invitation to one of those skates, is, you got to be like, that's Crosby running them, McKinnon running them. Like, you got to be, yes, you're in the NHL, but you, it, like, there's a standard that you guys have been talking about for the last couple of minutes here that meets that standard in the summertime, to be invited to those skates. There's a privilege to it. Ryan Graves, who's on his team, just got signed, Alain Wall client, like he was talking about, he's been dying to get those skates and he finally got to him this summer. So also that's a guy that was in the NHL for quite a while and then finally got the call this summer to get in, to get it to one of those skates. So it's just remarkable what he can do. You know, it's fun to watch. It's great to watch. It's, you know, it's everything you're inspiring to be. And, you know, the stories you hear that, about him is great. I think the best one is the Gord Miller that talks about, you know, being Gord Miller hosts every time Crosby's won the cup, Gord Miller comes in and hosts the events where Crosby's at. They have that special connection. And, he was at a hospital and, you know, brought, there was a guy that couldn't see, but, you know, talked about someone that he liked to win the Stanley Cup, and Crosby went over to that memorial or that hospital and the guy that couldn't see just grabbed his hand and put his hand on the Stanley Cup where the guy's name was engraved. I think people have seen that video before where, you know, Gord Miller's talked about that. It's great. I remember in the Olympics, like Jerome McGinley's brothers and sisters were telling me some great stories about, you know, how great and humble he is too. So just a great person all around, and fun to see. Vandy, you were talking, let's transition over to the other Pennsylvania team, the Philadelphia Flyers. They win tonight. They snap their losing streak.
Fuck.
I
can't believe you didn't get fired after that.
I was going to say, where are you at with Torts here with everything? Well,
I mean, Greer keeps coming out and I thought, was it Saturday? When the hell was that? Saturday or Sunday?
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I think it was, they had lost six in a row, so it might have been whenever.
Well, they lost to Columbus, and then they lost 9-3 against Montreal. And
yeah, okay, it was a Columbus loss. And yeah. I'm like, there's no fucking way he's going to last.
At that game.
This team's quit on him. And I hate saying that because I'm a coach, and I don't like to think that the players quit on me. But I do think the voice gets stale. But I don't know. Like, and then they come out today, and the Rangers, they, you know, from all – I didn't watch the game, but you look on stats and they dominated the game. So
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, they're still in it. No,
they are. They're still fighting. Like they obviously you're gonna have to have some help, and they're going to have to, you know, run the gauntlet here a little bit too.
But there's no fucking way he lasts. If they make the playoffs.
In insider trading tonight, Chris Johnson and Pierre LeBrun said he is coming back. So,
of course, these guys
want him to come
back.
They
are not a good hockey team, and he's got that team right in the cusp of making the playoffs. Yeah. That's hugely impressive.
Yeah, I would agree. Like, obviously, this was in December when I was in Calgary for this game against the Flyers and the Flames, but I was in the elevator with Mark Stahl going down after the game. And there's a couple other guys in the elevator with us too. And one of the reporters from the Calgary Flames asked, because all the guys are wearing tracksuits, and they just said, tracksuits? Like, don't you guys have to wear suits? And they said, nope. Torch said no suits this year, tracksuits at the games.
I fucking love it.
So and then they
asked, I do love Torch. Don't get me wrong. I love.
And I straight up asked Mark Stahl in the elevator going down. I was like, how is he as a coach? I'm like, you've had him for a while. You've had him in a couple other stops. And he goes, best coach ever, man. He's like, he is the best coach ever. He's like, we love him. So
I think the Carter Hart situation really
fucked
that team.
Yeah.
Yeah, you think?
But I mean, even like to lose nine in a row, you wonder. And teams go through a funk. I mean, we know firsthand. But I don't know. I didn't think he'd last the weekend. I'm like, there's no fucking way, man.
Yeah. And he got
it. And then they get pumped 9-3. I'm like, oh, for sure. I didn't put it in the chat, but I'm like, for sure he's gone. Nope. And then Breer comes out and says, oh, we're sticking by him. And I'm like, good. Okay. Then obviously the leadership core, because you got guys like I listened to 1440 in the morning, and Frank Cervelli's, you know, saying, not, you know, out of context, he's saying he's kind of a hypocrite and this, that, the other thing. And I'm like, if the leadership core didn't believe in him, Couturier, Konechny, those guys didn't have faith in him, he'd be gone. So obviously he's doing something, like you just said, with Mark Stahl and whatnot. They love him. And what What's there not to love, man? The guy, he's good at what he does, right? Yeah.
65 next year. I think he pulls it through. I think he still gets another year in or so. Like, we'll see.
I find him a little lately. I feel like he's on SportsCenter every night yammering for four.
And, I do agree with, yeah, Cervelli did say that. It's turning into a media. But you wonder, does he do that to deflect away from his team so you're not talking to because they got a young team too, right?
They do. But there has been times where Rocky Thompson's been able to one of the coaches have gone up and spoke too, right?
And don't forget about him. I mean, Rocky Thompson is a hell of a coach too.
Yeah.
And he's cut his teeth, right? He's worked his way.
Yeah. He probably would be an NHL head coach right now, but he got jammed up because of COVID, so he wasn't going to take the vaccine. I don't mean to get back into that topic.
Like, you mean 2020?
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. Just saying, like, he was on the progression to become a head coach. He's still in now. He's back in the National Hockey League, and all that stuff's changed. We've seen, but you know, he was behind an NHL bench in San Jose, and you know, came back after later, but. You know, we all know his story and his resume, you know, from the OHL and NHL career too. But, you know, and I like that Torts gives him some conversations and leeway, and here you go. Like, it doesn't always have to be me talking. But yeah, there's a time and a place, but we'll see what happens. I don't know. It's be an interesting team to get in. They're always fun when they get in, but
there's a fight that Eastern Conference is.
Yeah.
There's a battle going.
So. Yeah. This race is good. So, let's get to some Oilers talk right now. Our Oilers report sponsored by Shadowfied Sauna Barbershop. They got three locations here in the Edmonton area, downtown in the south side there in the Ellerslie/Windermere area. And then they got their north side location that's very, very popular. So thanks Shaddy and the team there for taking care of the guys and the gals as well too. But, you know, awesome to see kind of like this season going pretty good here. They've had some blips a little bit, but not a lot. You know, going into the playoffs, it should be fun for the Oilers. I don't think it really matters who they play. Like, just whatever. You're gonna play someone hard anyway. This first round matchup, like, I agree with Elliot Friedman said, all eight teams in the West, they could all win the Stanley Cup. They're all really that good. So, you know, the Oilers are obviously climbing down and catching the Vancouver Canucks here. They pass them and they win the division. That's awesome. And maybe you play Nashville in the first round. And, you know, we'll see what
I don't.
You don't
see Nashville's it. The only team that I don't want to play in the first round.
The travel might be a bit hard. I can see that.
Fuck the travel. The team.
Yeah, the team is going to be hard too. But, you know, but obviously Draisaitl's lit that team up for many, many years, and McDavid has too. So I don't think it's going to be any different in the playoffs.
Is McDavid going to play in the playoffs?
Yeah, he's fine.
How bad is the injury?
If it was the playoffs, he would be playing. So I don't think it's anything. From what I understand, it is not anything
I know.
To be worried about. But you don't want to get Oilers fans worried. But, you know, Vandy, we'll get your thoughts on the Oilers, and you know, let's get into this Evander Kane topic too. We can get into that.
I knew you were going to go there.
But anyways, where are we at with the Oilers? Where are you at with Evander Kane, and how the playoffs here?
Okay, Oilers are. I mean, yesterday was a telltale, and Vegas is going through a little bit of a blip right now. They'll be fine, but.
Their blip has been a long time blip, though.
Yeah, it has been. It has been.
Like, they
had a long time blipping.
Yeah, like they're like they.
No, I get it. On for a but while. You don't get a sense of the panic, but as far as the Oilers, I mean, it's you got Holloway coming up, developing into the player that, and he was ready to go yesterday. You could tell from the drop of the puck. You know, you're getting top 6 minutes. You know, when Connor comes back, one of those guys are going to get bumped down, but I mean, you got to make the most of it. We've been Holloway, McLeod. None of these guys have grabbed the ball and ran with it. And yesterday they did. Okay. Perfect. You're probably going to get another opportunity playing against essentially an AHL team in Arizona tomorrow. Let's see what you do. Continue it, and keep pushing that competition meter. But the Oilers D have improved so much, like just and the way Ekholm's been playing is all world. I mean, forget the points. The fact that this guy's plus 41, I think it is. I saw last night 5-on-5 or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it's insane. Like, he's turning into what we needed. He's that solidified number one D-man where he takes minutes off of Nurse, where Nurse doesn't need to be that number one guy, where, you know, and what he's done to Bouchard, and how Bouchard, when he plays with, you know, you think of Bouchard after he had Keith, he had that 30 game, half a season where he was kind of on his own before Ekholm came, and everybody's like, oh my God, can this guy play? And now you watch, and it's like the way those two coexist with each other. And then, I mean, Ekholm can eat minutes, and that's, he's a beast, and that's what you need come playoff time. I mean, when you're
going to get, jerk too,
right?
So would you say, like, obviously he's, you know, comparing him to Chris Pronger, kind of different, but like, just the fact of the presence that he would have and how he's changed that decor, is it shades of like the Chris Pronger when Chris came here? And
yeah, I didn't want to say that, but yeah, essentially that's, you need a number one, you need a number one guy. Cause you, every team has got, you know, a bunch of one B's and twos and three third line guys, second, third line pairings, but there, you need that number one guy that can eat 26, 27 minutes and play at both ends of the rink. We're not worried about what he's going to do offensively. We're going to need him to shut down, you know, other guys, the top end guys, eat those minutes. And then that allows Nurse, CeCe, and then you got Kulak. And make no mistake about it, I remember, and I've said this before, nobody realizes how hard Vinny Desharnais has worked to get to where he is. Like, you know, talent wise, he probably had the skill, but he has had to work his ass off. And I remember when we went to one of those practices that you host, and I watched him for an hour just doing the same fucking thing. And I'm like, God, like, and then we
had, what was it, Danny?
Hey?
What was it?
It was blue line walks. So he was just walking along the blue line, taking shots. He'd get it off the boards on both sides. So he was picking it off, backhand, forehand, walk to the middle. Forehand, walk to the middle kind of thing, right? And it was that's all it was. It wasn't an hour. Sorry?
Whatever, yeah. I like, you know, I like what that's an NHL hockey player doing the same thing that
right.
I do U11s.
Right. Right? And that's amazing. The kind of work he, you know, a guy like Ekholm probably doesn't have to do that every day. They work on it, but he did that, and he's staying, and everybody's gone. So it's just him and, at the time it was, I can't remember who the coaches were, but it was just him and two other coaches and the backup or third string, whoever the goalie was.
Manson and Glenn Gullick.
Manson, that's who it was. Yeah. And just, yeah, he did that for like 15, 20 minutes. And I remember, I'm like, okay, I work good for you, man. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's a lot.
Right? He probably does that 5 times a week.
Right. He has to yeah. stay in the league. And that, I think our decor has looked really good. I've rambled on enough. Obviously, our forwards are good. I did hear, and I never really paid it. I don't pay attention. When I watch the game, I try to watch it as a fan. But our penalty kill needs to improve maybe a little bit, but who cares?
Yeah. Closer, your kind of thoughts, as I just asked Vandy, your kind of thoughts, and then after that we'll get into some Kane talk here, but your thoughts on the Oilers and what you're seeing right now. Obviously, hashtag heater as always are, but you are the pulse of Oiler fans. Closer, so just have it.
I like that Vandy didn't talk about what I want to talk about is – how at the beginning of the year, last year, the year before, Cody Ceci sucks. When's the last time you can, this season, say Cody Ceci was anything? Mm-hmm. Right? He just, at the end of the day, he's a solid defenseman. You never once go, oh my God, he was amazing today. Oh my God, he was awful tonight. And the other guy, Kulak. Tell me a game where Kulak wasn't just played his 15 minutes and got off the ice and that was it. of just solid hockey, right? And you need those guys. Both those guys are perfect examples of dudes you need. And I'm right. You think about it. Think about one time where you're like, oh my God, those two, one of those two guys sucked to me. Yeah. You haven't.
Yeah.
Probably you haven't in 2 years. Years
yeah. It's been a while, right?
Like Chris Russell type D-man. Like they're 100%, just,
right?
You don't notice them. And if you don't notice them, perfect.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable, right? That means they did fantastically well.
Yep.
Right? They don't try to do too much. If nothing's there, they just chip it off the glass. They out. Like Strudwick says, live to fight another day. You don't have to win every single shift, right? Just don't lose it. You can lose a game in a couple shifts, but you can't, right? Just keep it simple. Dig up stupid is from The Simpsons, right? Dig up stupid.
Yeah.
Just
well, the best
keep it simple.
And I love that you're talking about it because earlier in the year and Elliot Freeman had the same thing shortly after. And, you know, maybe it was the same person telling us the same thing, but you know, towards the deadline, the Oilers were trying to upgrade their back end. And from what I was told, some leaders in that locker room went to Ken Holland and said, we want CeCe. We don't want him gone. I'm not saying it was a Rudy type situation where they're putting their jerseys on his desk.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of, and it's been pretty documented, like CeCe and Leon Draisaitl are really close off the ice too. So, you know, there's a good relationship and a close relationship that those two guys have. So, you know, you hit the nail on the head there of how much this guy means to this organization. And, you know,
and he's a good player, not just because he's a good human. He's a good hockey player.
And he's under $5 million. He, you know, he's steady on the rudder. There's no huge glaring mistakes. Like, you know, he's not, there's no gaffes. Like we saw the other night when they played against Dallas, like Eddie Olczyk, great commentator. Yeah. Like we saw with Spit and Chicklets and Missing Curfew put on their Instagram accounts of breaking that play down of Nurse. And it's just kind of like, you're not seeing that play out of CeCe, right? Like he just makes that smart play. It's off the glass. It's out. It's whatever. I'm making $4 million to make off the glass. No, Chris Russell made a career out of that, made $30 million to do that. Right. So can't see why CeCe is not doing the same thing. So great.
100%.
Yeah. Great there. So, there's probably not much to this, to be honest. We'll see where this goes. Like we kind of, you know, I've had more conversations with this Evander Kane, but you know, obviously I understand everyone knows he's going to be very important for them in the playoffs like he has been. So he hasn't had a playoff since he's been in the playoffs really, where he hasn't been an effective player. He's done a great job when that time comes, but you know, not many goals as of late. He had the game where he got two goals, but you know, the fights on the bench are probably whatever, you know, like Corey Perry said, we're brothers. You're always going to fight. But you know, how just to you, Vandy, how important is Corey Perry going to be for the Oilers run here in the playoffs?
Corey Perry?
Corey Perry and Evander Kane. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's go back and everybody, every person listening that played hockey or played sport has played probably with a guy like Evander Kane. He's larger than life. You know what I mean? He's got an ego. There's ego. Everybody's all the top, you know, the not stars, but to get to that level, you got to have an ego. You got to have an arrogance. You got to have a confidence about you. Sometimes maybe it goes over the edge. And with Evander, I think he doesn't, you know, a lot of guys who, okay, you fell over the fence, we'll pick you up, pull you back over. Evander doesn't have that. He's got to walk that fine line. He's got to walk the top of the fence. He can't lean either or, right? He's got to, you know, he's so important and so vital to this team that, you know, they don't want him. Don't be going over here. Don't be going over there. Just stay the course. You got it. And by that, I mean, and that's cliche talk. I mean, I'm talking something as simple as I think the play with Perry was maybe he didn't put it back into the quiet zone below the goal line. Again, he tried to make something out of nothing where he really isn't in that position when you're struggling to score and maybe offensively it's not clicking for you. You got to take care of your own end. You can't be the one to get scored on. And I think that's where that all stemmed from. The Draisaitl thing, who knows? I mean, whatever. It was that shit happens, and like Perry said, it happens all the time. And it's easy for media and for everybody to just focus the camera on Kane and, oh, here we go again. We got Winnipeg, Bufflin, we got San Jose, and Buffalo. Now everybody, I think that dressing room is mature enough, and even Evander, I think, has matured over the years to where he can, you know, he now realizes, all right, yeah, I mean, maybe the I'm going to put, and he's shown it. I mean, he could have easily folded the tent and said, fuck this, I'm done. He wants to win. He's a competitor. They're all competitors. They want to win. And you know, they're going to have arguments. The thing that I love about it is this team is holding each other accountable. Corey Perry bringing in experience. When we had, we talked about when Duncan Keith came in. These guys are winners. They know how to get there. They know how to get over that hump, and they're holding each other accountable. And that's that, to me, that's huge. And you know, they had a Masters golf tournament. I heard that they were, Perry and Kane were partners again. So yeah, drafting players. So it's, you know, it's no different than work. You work, you go, you show up, and yeah, you're going to have a bad day. Maybe you have a bad day. Maybe so-and-so has a bad day. You yell at each other, and then you come back, and you're like, yeah, you're right. All right.
Yeah.
Let's get back at her. We got one goal in mind, and it's to, you know, in this case, to win a championship. But
yeah. Yeah, he's obviously going to be very important. And, you know, whatever, him and I
have. We know what he's going to do in the playoffs. Yeah. I mean,
he's going to be awesome.
He's Rafi Torres
2.0. Yes, yes, right? He is.
Yeah.
It's exactly what he is, Randy.
Yeah. Go ahead, Closer. You give us your thoughts and kind of what we're going to see from him. And, you know, obviously maybe some people are worried. Maybe some people aren't. We'll see. You know, obviously his pedigree in the playoffs speaks for itself, though.
Well, my thoughts are, don't think for 1 second that Corey Perry and Evander Kane being Masters partners is by accident, just a random flip of the coin, which means somebody and everybody has this team dialed in and know that they need these guys, and we got to get these guys on the same page. So guess what? Whoever is running the Masters tournament is a genius by putting them together. That's number one, which bodes well for the team, right? Because that's, they got an eye on the pulse. They're right there. They're dialed. They know that this has to happen. I know that seems silly, but I think that speaks volumes, actually, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I have zero. You're putting our group chat all the time, Bosco. You're just freaking picking. You're picking. Nobody gives a fuck
about Evander Kane
not scoring this, not doing this, what he's doing. He's fighting. Nobody cares.
What if he doesn't in the playoffs, though? What if it's what we see now translates?
It's not going to be.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, but what? What is he doing bad? He's.
Yeah.
It's turnovers.
He's showing up every game. Like I said, he could
have. I don't think he's showing up every game. I think it's turnovers. I think it's bad penalties. I think it's selfishness. Like, you know, like every time Kane, someone's gone at him, they've gone at him for a play that he's made. That's like, why are you making that play? Like, you played him.
Because he's an easy target.
100% easy.
In my opinion.
He does the easy target himself. No one else needs to do that.
Oh, no. Like, that's the mistake about it.
On him.
He's got a history. Like,
yeah. But we all, like, I agree. Like, normally I don't agree with anything Frank Saravalli says. One thing I agree that Frank Saravalli said, though, is he overstays his welcome once he gets into an organization. It's good at the start, and then it wears it out. So, you know, like, we'll see what happens. Like,
it appears that's kind of happening, is it not? I don't know what's happening in there, but it certainly appears that way.
We're not in the locker room, and even,
yeah.
You know, just because I have a media pass in Calgary, that's a different organization, doesn't mean you know what's going on in a locker room. But there has been some conversations that I understand, and then it's on TV. Like, I don't know. Like, I watch like 12 games every single night. Like, I don't remember the last time, besides Kane going at it with Draisaitl and then Kane going at it with Perry, I don't remember the last time a random other NHL game I've watched where two players are going at it. Like, it probably happens and the camera just doesn't catch it. It's Canada, so I understand it. Like, you know, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, because obviously it does. And you guys talk about it at work. Like, there's people I work with that we have disagreements on the way we're going to do a task or the way we're going to do something.
Listen,
it's a part of life. I get it.
Your work, you're going to work, you're going to play, you're going to, with guys. There's guys that I'll play beer league with back in the day that I fucking couldn't stand. But
our NHL news and notes segment is brought to you by Sheena Boychuk. Yes, you heard that last name right. That's Sheena Boychuk. As a licensed realtor, Sheena has you covered to buy and sell your home in this hot market. She also offers home consulting services to help you upgrade your living space. Check her website out at SheenaBoychuk.com and tell her the Two Mods Podcast sent you. Realty by Design, your design approach to real estate.
We interrupt the Two Mods Podcast to bring you some breaking news. Manscaped now sells beard products. That's right. They are once again revolutionizing men's grooming with the brand new Beard Hedger Pro Kit. From a fresh shave to a beard trim, the technology behind the Beard Hedger Pro Kit allows you to shape your signature beard look. Now you can finally use Manscaped products to make your drapes match your carpet by going to manscaped.com and using code 2MUTS for 20% off and free shipping. Listen, I'm a real lazy guy. I hate shaving every day. Ask my wife. I leave thousands and thousands of little stubble in the sink. It's time to tame your mane. No one likes a weird beard. Say goodbye to all your stubble trouble with Manscaped's Pro Beard Kit. It all starts with the Beard Hedger. This thing is a juggernaut of fixing faces. First off, this cordless trimmer has a rotary wheel that gives you 20 hair cutting lengths all with one guard. So no more messy drawers full of extra add-ons. That's right. Face grooming does not need to be hard. Get 20 different beard lengths in just one guard. Plus, it's waterproof, so you can please your wife and shave in the shower to avoid all that hair in the sink. The titanium-coated T-blade is tough on hair but smooth on your face, leading to single-stroke efficiency that brings satisfaction one stroke at a time. This kit does not end there, though. They have created four dermatologist-tested formulations for your post-trim care. First, beard shampoo and conditioner, then beard oil, and finally, beard balm. The Pro Beard Kit also comes with three free gifts: a beard brush, comb, and scissors to ensure your beard is ready to impress. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code 2MUTS at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code 2MUTS. Manscaped, beard hedger, one stroke, one guard, 20 lengths.
All right, a little function in the junction there. So back with us here.
All good. What I was trying to spit out, and then we obviously Kane controls our internet, so he just shut it off.
Yeah.
What I was trying to say is,
far from him, so I wouldn't be.
Well, there you go. The respect factor is everybody works. You played with a guy that you don't like, or you know, you may not get along with, or you may not agree with his whatever, but you respect them and you play hard for them. And I think that's where maybe Evander's grown a little bit as a player, and that's where guys on the Oilers are realizing, like, he's got a swagger about him. There's no doubt about it. And yeah. And he's a family man now. He's dealing with a lot of personal stuff on the side of, you know, the Oilers fans know about. And, you know, you got to think of that too. There's a lot of stuff going on in this young man's life that I guess maybe he's not a young man. I don't know how old he is, but anyway, you got to think about it, that sometimes you need to have those, you know, and that's going to happen. You can dislike the guy. You can not believe what he believes, this, that, the other thing, but you respect the shit out of him and you play hard for the guy next to you and you play hard for him. And I think that's where, you know, a guy like Corey Perry, maybe Leon, and you also, you look at what happened in Winnipeg and San Jose, and it just goes to show you the strength of our core and maybe the tightness of the team. how tight this team really is that a lot of people don't really pay attention to. Your common fan isn't going to notice how close this team is to where they can rein, you know, EK in, and he can, he's going to, I mean, they know how important he is to this team, and they need him come May and June, right? So
well, April, four, May, June. 4 years in San Jose, his welcome was taken out, right? So 3 years in Buffalo, and then obviously, you know, Winnipeg slash Atlanta. So, you know, like he's on his third season with the Oilers. So like, we'll see what happens. Like I could see him not being back with this team next year. Now, the only way I see him coming back is if they win the Stanley Cup. They don't win the Stanley
Cup. When they win the Stanley Cup, Bosco.
Well, I don't know. Anything could happen. But I know you really want to go get going here on this topic too. You wrote some things down, so you didn't forget about them. So I'll throw the mic over to you here. You know, it's in your corner now, closer. Like you go on your rant here, and guys, come at me. It's all good. It's just debate. It's the first time I think we've had one.
Well, I'm not going to come at you. I just,
yeah.
I'm 47 years old. I had three thoughts in my head before Evander Kane shut down our internet. And I was able to write down two of them before I forgot them. So I only have two of the three. I don't know what the hell the third one was. I have no idea. Maybe by the time I'm done the second one, it'll come to me. So who knows? Number one is they don't have to be friends.
No.
You think of your workplace, my workplace. I don't like everybody. You don't like everybody. And that's okay. And that's super normal.
Mm-hmm.
Right? McDavid, Dreisaitl, they don't have to go for dinner with Evander Kane and watch a movie night or come over and watch Netflix. They don't have to. They have to go to work, do their job, and go home. And that's okay. And that's super normal. So I don't expect everybody. And that's a big workplace. There's, I don't know how many employees there are, but there's 20-something players there. Right? There's no chance they all get along. So that means nothing to me. When we saw on TV, when he threw when Corey Perry lit him up there on the bench, which I shouldn't say lit him up, when he gave him a piece of his mind, the video clip they showed was him coming out and he just threw a puck blind in front of the net instead of eating it and cycling it. As Clay said, he put it to the dead zone, right? Just, and that's okay. That's fucking right. He should say that. Dude, don't throw pucks there. We're professional athletes. I should be able to tell you where the puck needs to go.
Yeah.
And we can fight about it all we want, but the next shift, we're going to go on the ice and we're going to be off of it because that's how we grow and get better.
They didn't get a next shift, though, after. They got passed over that line after that because earlier Perry had turned the puck over and then Kane turned the puck over and then Chris Knobloch passed that line up. And that's when the freak
goes. So that's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Perry probably said, you quit turning the puck over. And Kane probably said, fuck you. You quit turning the puck
you
over.
Just fucking we're going to get benched.
Exactly.
That's so exactly.
We don't know exactly, but I did go back and rewatch it. And that line, only once. They only got passed up once. They missed the cycle through the shift once. You know, so like that happens. Like it's not the end of the world. So,
and don't get it. Yeah. I mean, coaches sense when the two guys are bickering and, I mean, they're like, okay, let's give them a little time to cool down.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, fine. We'll play McDavid and Dreisaitl this year. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. We'll throw Hyman out there. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But no, I think there's something to be said on it, but there's also in a way too, it's like, it's not the end of the world situation.
It's not, it's the opposite of the end of the world, Bosco. It's a really good thing actually.
Yeah,
I agree.
Okay. And you know what? Those
only
two
thing is we guys have not answered the question though. What if this continues into the postseason?
Well, then we're fucked.
Why do?
Yeah.
Cause you know what's going to happen.
I don't think it will.
Those two are going to be on the third line together and they're going to be unbelievable together. Yep.
Okay.
That line is going to be phenomenal.
Okay.
In the playoffs.
Okay. Well,
and if it does happen, to answer your question, if it does happen, then we're fucked.
Yeah.
Because but I'm telling you what I said earlier is
both
it didn't work in Winnipeg, didn't work in Buffalo, didn't work in San Jose. But I think it just goes to show you how strong our leadership core is and how that room is wrapped around winning.
Now, do you believe the narrative out there right now is that 29 and 97 have finally said, okay, this is it. This is your problem. Like, you deal with this, Corey Perry. Like, we've dealt with this year.
No.
You guys don't believe
that? 97, 29 run the room.
Okay.
There's no chance 97-29 are giving up on anything. They're involved in it all, and they're dictating 100%. What's happening and how it's going to happen.
1,000,000%.
Okay. All right. No, I'm just – there's an NHL player that
– What else do you have, bro?
I'm just saying. Just saying.
I have one more thing, which an employee – I shouldn't say an employee. Yeah, an employee of the Edmonton Oilers told me, and I was like, wow, I never really thought of that. Ken Holland's closet when he leaves is bare. And the guy says to me, name me two good prospects.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Well, obviously, like, are they guys in Bakersfield right now?
Name two or three of them that are, wow, this guy's going to be an NHL hockey player.
Raphael Lavoie, you know.
Yeah, there's one.
Xavier Bourgault hasn't turned out, right? Like that's
so you got one.
Yeah. So, you know, Dylan Holloway just got called up. So, you know,
I think he was a legit NHL player, right? Eventually.
We know Philip Roberg still out. The jury's still out on him, and maybe the jury is out already on him in terms of, you know, he's instead of a prospect, he's not a prospect anymore, right? He's could be just that career AHL guy that he'd be. If he's not with the big team next year, then you obviously, yeah, that's done. After that, yeah, you're kind of grasping at straws in a way, right? So
that's not good, man. That's one forward and maybe a defenseman.
Yeah. Now you got Olivier Rodrigue-Nett, and he's looked pretty good. So, you know, he's
goalies, excluding goalies. Goalies are voodoo, man. Yeah. You never know.
Yes. And it's still very early. Like, you know, it takes a while for goaltenders to get into the National Hockey League for a reason. But, I would say, you know,
I never thought of that.
It is definitely there. So, you know, because you've already traded Reed Schaefer for Ekholm, right? So that was a guy that you could
have. Yeah, but didn't he just sign? He signed a long term deal, didn't he?
Who's that?
Who did?
Holland?
No, he's not
after this year.
Yeah, this is his last year of a $5 million contract. 5 years, $5 million he got. So,
I'm not saying he's not really good at his job. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying.
But this is what happened.
He put everything in.
This is what happened to Detroit, though. People don't remember this. Detroit was so good for a while. But if you actually look back when Detroit's drafting went bad, all those scouts that were in Detroit, their contracts never got renewed.
They all went to Dallas.
Yes, I was just going to say that's where they all went. So, you know, it was very interesting to see that obviously Jim Neal, former, you know, executive with the Detroit Red Wings, that went over to the Dallas Stars. But, you know, and that's kind of stealing something that you know, our friend Paul Bissonnette was talking about on his podcast. Like, I'm sure you listened to that episode too. But, like, you know, that's, you know, why Johnson, like Rich Peverly, a friend of, you know, Vernon Fiddler's and one of the great guys, like any scouting I go to that's, you know, internet, like these World Junior tournaments and stuff like that, Rich Peverly's there. Who else was there? Was Danny Briere. So, you know, these guys they're grinding for a reason. I remember sitting in a rink in Sherwood Park when Cale Makar was in the AJHL and Steve Yzerman was in the corner watching, you know, Cale Makar, like, you know, I'm not joking. I remember going in, I was scouting for the Surrey Eagles of the BCHL. I was their Alberta scout and I went in and I didn't even know where the scouts sit. And they're like, the scouts sit over there. I was walking over. I thought, I think that's Steve Yzerman. And it was Steve Yzerman in a rink in Sherwood Park watching Cale Makar. Like, I just, that's my appreciation for the game for those guys that do,
crazy,
you know, flying all that way to watch, you know, the future stars of our game. But you're right. There's tough. But Bob Stauffer's been on this, and we've seen this too. Like, look at how long the Oilers haven't had a scout in Ontario, right? Like, we're more worried about – and Bob's talked about it too. He works for the organization. But they're so heavy on some of the – they've even missed guys in their own backyard, for crying out loud. So –
they're cheap, man. They don't have a lot of money, right? They don't. Well, they do have a lot of money. They don't like to spend it, right?
Spend it a lot in a lot of those areas. And they, for I think it was for 3 years, two or three years, they had no Ontario scout. Like, how's that happen? Like, look at the players that come out of the Ontario Hockey League, and you don't have a scout in Ontario. Now they do.
I went down a rabbit hole one weekend, guys. And this was 3 years ago, I want to say. So I don't know what it's like today. And I looked at just like scouts. How many do the Edmonton Oilers have? And I looked, and I don't remember the number, but it was, we'll say 15.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going to look at similar markets. So I looked at the Calgary Flames. I looked at the Minnesota Wild, thinking, you know, a hockey town, but in the States. And it was like double and triple. Yeah. Like, it was ugly. I'm like, oh, my God.
Shit, eh?
It wasn't even close. I was like, this is not good.
Yeah. Well, where I sit in the press box in Calgary, the last seat I have is the last seat in the press row. And then obviously the next several seats after that are all scouts, GMs from other markets coming in, because you sit in the same row as them. And I do remember they were having their amateur scout meetings and pro scout meetings at the same time. And there was like, it was herd after herd after herd of guys, like, you know, even to the point where the next game, more scouts came in. So I couldn't get in for that game. Like, there were, they had to get the scouts in. So the press box was too full. So I only got credentialed for a few games on that homestand. And then towards the end of that homestand, they're just like, yeah, we need your seat to put a scout in. Like, so you're right. Like, I've seen it firsthand in Calgary, obviously, and you've looked at some data from other organizations, but it is, it's huge for a reason for that organization. But, you know, the Flames, look, and we can transition quick on the Flames. Like, Vandy, you talked about it, Mironov. Like, you talked about how good
they are in
Calgary, right? Like,
they got him out of San Jose.
They got him out of Vegas. He was 26 years old. He had a knee.
Nah, dude.
He didn't play a lot of games.
But that was one of the kids they wanted.
Yeah. And Noah Hanifin re-signed. Like, he had the same contract offer in Calgary and ended up signing, obviously.
This guy's – he's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be good.
He will. And they've added some good pieces in Calgary, too. We'll see what happens. It's a young team for sure. But
yeah, but they're going to lose Markstrom.
They have three goaltenders. So? They have three goaltenders, so we'll see if they trade them, right?
Dustin Wolf, are they really, like, is this?
They're sold.
They're really?
Sure. Yeah, really? Like, Vladar has hip surgery, so he's going to be out for a while, right? So he can be ready.
Like, Dustin Wolf's Calgary's.
I wouldn't say he's obviously, like, you look at what he's done in the American Hockey League last several years. Like, he's up. Like, he's won goaltender of the year 2 years in a row. So, you know, his numbers are crazy in America.
I didn't know that. I don't follow it that much.
Like, Astros for the Predators is better than him. Obviously, he catches the Russian goaltender. There are some good goaltenders, but yeah, they are sold on him. Like, he got his first road win in San Jose in his hometown the other night. So he's not playing tonight. They got Markstrom in net tonight. The Kings are already up 1-0 on a Kevin Fiala goal. But it is. We'll see what happens with the Flames. They're young. You know, a lot of talk right now is, are they going to draft Jerome McGinley's kid Teague in the first round? So that's
unbelievable.
Yeah. So he's having a good playoff in the Western Hockey League right now. But
it's his draft year.
Yeah. So
yeah. Why would you draft him? Fuck. He looks like Jerome too. He's got that fucking mean, that like resting bitch face. Like, most kids are smiling. Tummy, like, Biz calls it tummy, or Biz Nasty calls it tummy sticks.
Yeah.
But they, like, he, every time you see a picture of him, he's fucking like, I'm going to rip your heart off for a nickel.
Yeah.
That again, like, fuck.
He's a good player.
Yeah. He sure is.
What about the Leafs? Are we talking the Leafs?
Yeah. Let's go to the Leafs here. I'm just looking at the,
they're fucked, Bosco.
I still want to get into this debate. I know we've been going along here. We've been going over the hour that we normally do, but that's all good. You think they're fucked? It's all good. I don't think.
No, I'm just bugging you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they are, but I do think it's the same team that you look in Edmonton and you look in Toronto. It's over. Toronto's like, you know.
Well, at least have a goalie at least, Bosco. Come on.
I don't know about that, because I would say, like, your goaltender got pulled three times in the playoffs, so it's kind of, you know, it's kind of tough to, you know, say that. Like, both goaltenders are both going in the same.
Who's the starter in Toronto playoffs right now?
Obviously, Samsonov's are going to be their starter. So, you know, so it, like, that's who they're going to.
You call. Like the matchup they got right now?
Well, any matchup they're going to have to face. Like, you don't have nothing. Like, they pretty much just lost home ice against Florida. Like, there was they played bad tonight, you know, and obviously that happens throughout the year, but it's their first bad game in 30.
That's pretty good.
I would say that's pretty decent. They haven't had, I haven't seen them play this bad in the last 30 games. So, and they still only lost. They got five goals. Their offense is going. Willie Nylander hasn't scored in eight games, so they got to get him going. But he has not been the same player since he signed his contract. So there's been a huge dip off in his play since he's gotten it, since he's got paid. But you know, I'm not as a Leaf fan and an observer of them. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what they do in the regular season. It's all that matter what they do in late April or early.
How are they going to beat Florida?
Is that who they play for sure?
That's who they'll play for sure in the first round. Yeah.
So, oh, they're fucked.
But they've had Florida's number throughout the regular season here. So, you know, maybe they hold off some momentum and.
Like, do they have a guy that can contain Tkachuk? And by containing him, I don't mean points. I mean to keep, I guess, Reeves. But is Reeves?
Reeves ain't.
Does I think Reeves have the balls to go after? Does Reeves have the balls to grab Tkachuk and lay a whipping on?
I wouldn't even say you would have to worry about Reeves. You should have seen what Domi did tonight. Like, he just.
Okay.
You touch Matthews, I'm just going to drop the gloves and beat the crap out of you, and I'll serve 17 minutes in the penalty box. Like, obviously.
I didn't watch the game, but okay.
My biggest thing, though, like you kind of touched it on earlier, for like Toronto's been a different team. So they got their show ran earlier in Boston, and the next day they had a meeting. And Sheldon Keith got all the video from when Tampa, and everyone knows it, that one play where Vasilevsky got ran, and every single Tampa Bay Lightning dropped their gloves and beat the crap out of the one player, like every single player. And
that was awesome.
That's what Sheldon Keith is engraved into this team. And since then, that's what they've done. So I don't know why Ryan Reeves wasn't playing tonight. Like, you know, he's been pretty good as of late. I know it wasn't the greatest start to the season for him, but it has been good tonight. They obviously played Curtis McDermott. He was a non-factor. Like, Dermott didn't do anything. But Simon Nicias, you know, hit Matthews high, and Domi saw the end of the play. Matthews kind of hit him high too. But Domi just saw the tail end of what Simon Nicias did, and he just walked up to him and just took an uppercut city, and that was it. So served 17 minutes into the penalty box. Now, they've lost the chance to game home ice, but like Chris Cuffert said in our podcast yesterday, it didn't really matter about home ice last year for the Leafs because they won most of their games on the road last year. So, you know, home ice wasn't a real big thing. They are the best road team in the NHL right now too. So maybe that holds, you know, so
they are.
Yeah, they are. They're the best road team in the NHL right now.
That's impressive.
So they pretty much at the end of the day too. And also they're the, I think it's like 230 straight games straight. They haven't been shut out. So, you know, that's dating back to several years. The next closest team is like 91. So they have a consecutive record where they haven't been shut out. So goal scoring isn't going to be an issue for them. They have the most amount of goals scored by all forwards. Like, if you combine all the goals that their forwards have in the NHL, they lead the NHL where with the most
defending and goaltending. Bosco is the issue.
And that will be the issue forever in the organization, because that's just the way Kyle Dubas built the team, and that's what Brad Treliving has inherited. So, you know, at the end of the day, they can't really do much to change it. I don't think there's a reason why they didn't go all in. They didn't trade their first-round pick. They didn't trade Easton Cowan. They didn't trade Fraser Mitton. Like, they didn't trade any of their top-end prospects, and they didn't trade their first-round pick because – I don't see – I think it's more of an 18-month window picture. I could see maybe in Edmonton where it's like cup or bust, but in Toronto it's like – I'm not saying it's like not cup or bust. Like, there is a new president in charge, and this guy runs things differently. Keith Pelley just came in, like last week, and Elliot Friedman's been on record. You know, if they've had success with the Blue Jays, they've had success with the Raptors, they've had success with Toronto FC, they've had success with the Toronto Argonauts. There's been no success with the Leafs. Brendan Shanahan's job might be on the line this summer, right? You're not going to fire Brad Treliving. You just hired him. But, you know, if they get eliminated in the first round and, you know, Florida does their number again, I could see Sheldon Keefe gone. He's a lame duck coach. He does have a contract for next year, but doesn't really matter. And I could see Brendan Shanahan being gone with the new president in town. So, you know, Larry Tannenbaum is probably going to get bought out, you know, and then Rogers and Bell will own the team outright. So, you know, there's obviously some pressure there, but at the end of the day, my thing is special teams. As watching the Leafs fans, this is eight straight years with Austin Matthews going to the playoffs. Their special teams has been horrendous in the playoffs. And tonight they got lit up on the power play again. Like, New Jersey scored three power play goals. And that's been a problem for the Toronto Maple Leafs. As anything, in the last 30 games, they had one little stretch there where we were doing really good, but other than that, they've been doing pretty bad. So, you know, you don't want to be going into the playoffs that bad on the penalty kill. And that, like, that's obvious, but they're
well, and that's what I stated.
I don't think you're going to change that.
Edmonton, the Oilers got to clean up their PK too.
Yeah.
It's been bad for like a decade.
So, you know, that's my thing with Toronto. Now, Samsonov, let's see. Like, obviously, you know, you could say Skinner's had a great year, but when you go to the playoffs, recency bias will play in a factor, and he got pulled. So, you know, there's some conversation that Jack Campbell's going to be called up right when the playoffs start, and he'll be the backup. But, you know, Pickard,
no chance.
Pickard's done pretty good. So, you know,
he's done awesome.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be too worried about that. But, you know, Bakersfield's going to the playoffs too. So maybe Campbell will be a guy that they use in Bakersfield for the playoffs. But, you know, but right now we'll see. Like, it's, Oilers have been very healthy all year. They haven't had anything major injury wise. Toronto is pretty much healthy now. They're just resting guys right now. So, the guys that are injured are, if it was game one of the playoffs, they all could play. But, you know, at the end of the day, I don't think to make them win, for them to win, TJ Brody's had a horrible year. So if TJ Brody is in your top six in the playoffs starting game one, then it's going to be tough. Like, tonight he had a horrible night. It was probably one of his worst games of the season tonight. So, and it sucks because obviously, you know, to see a guy's, you know, career drop off is tough in that aspect, but it's how it is, right? Like, it's the same thing every year with the Leafs. And, you know, let's see what, like, obviously they're going to go in with Matthews and Marner separated for the first time in their tenure of being together. They're not going to play on the same lines in the playoffs. You know, Domi's played actually pretty good in that spot. And Tyler Bertuzzi's come on as of late, and he had a great playoff for the Boston Bruins last year.
Yeah, he's got 21 goal scorer there, yeah. Dude.
So I think Bertuzzi's going to be good in the playoffs. He's a good player.
Yeah, so that might be your answer for a Matthew Tkachuk. Like, I wouldn't say that you can compare both. Like, obviously, Tkachuk's a 100-point player and Bertuzzi.
No, and by that, I'm talking like
checking.
But yeah, like, how are you gonna keep him in line? Like, how are you gonna? Because he's gonna go right after Matthews. He's gonna go after Marner.
Yeah,
and he's nonstop.
He won't stop. He won't.
And even if Domi or Reeves grab him, I mean,
he won't fight those guys either. So we know that.
He'd fight Domi.
I think he'd fight Domi. He might. But he nonstop. How, like, they got to learn to deal with that. Where, and not saying they don't deal with it on a regular basis, but I mean, Tkachuk, he's like, I don't even know what.
I wish he was an Oiler. That's what I think about Tkachuk.
But then, and it's the same thing. Like, obviously, you guys are asking me about the Leafs, but it's the same thing in every other market. Like, look at these matchups we're going to see. Like,
there's tons of them this year.
Smith and Chiklis went on a 20-minute rant on their recent episode that Boston's got to play the Tampa Bay Lightning in the first round. Like, you know, and Chris Cuffert said
it on our
podcast. Chris Cuffert said it on our podcast. He's a 1-8 guy.
Yeah.
1-8 guy too. Like,
by the way, great interview, dude.
Yeah, it was. Did you listen to it?
Yeah.
I know he's a wealth of knowledge and a good person to talk to about the game. But, you know, I agree that, you know, you can't. I don't like this format. I will just be honest, because you know, you're gonna have a team 10 days after the, like, from the obviously April 20th, the playoffs start. On April 30th, you're going to have a couple teams, you know, they're going to sit there and be like, where did the season go wrong? And I just got 115.
Couple, you're going to have a bunch.
Yeah. It's just going to be, but I agree with what Witt said. I know we're referencing a lot of other people on the podcast. I don't see anyone beating Dallas. Dallas is a different breed. So I can see, I see Dallas come out of the West. You know, that's a team that I just don't see. You know, you got Stankoven, Wyatt Johnson, and Jamie Benn on your third line. Like, that's your third line. And like, if you do, and Biz did say it, and I went and did the numbers, the top two lines in Dallas, they're comparable to first line numbers on any other team in the National Hockey League. So they have two top lines, and that's their third line, is Ben Wyatt Johnson and Logan Stankoven. Stankoven just got called.
Wyatt Johnson's a stud.
Yeah.
He's young.
That's a Rich Peverly draft pick too. Like, Rich went out and put a flyer out on him, but. So, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, if the Leafs don't get it done, they're not – the only way they get it done is if their star players show up. Like, their D can probably hold up to a bit because they've upgraded in that aspect. Edmondson's a big add. Labushkin, you know, he's going to play top 4 minutes, but in a good team, he's more your number six guy. So I can see maybe there's some question marks there. Simone Benoit has been really good for them. Him and Jake McCabe have been a really good pair all year. That's two lefties, though, on a pair. But we'll see what happens, man. It's up to them. It's their special teams at the end of the day. And Samsonov played bad tonight, you know, Joseph Woll has not looked good since his coming back from his injury. You know, I know Matt Murray's coming back this week, but yeah, he hasn't played all year, and we all know what he's done for injury prone, but he's got 2 Stanley Cups. And you got Martin Jones, who's got you almost 20 wins this year, and he's waiting in the wing too, and he's got a Stanley
Cup. That's 4 goalies.
That's either a good thing or a bad thing. I'm assuming.
Right. No,
the thing is, you look back at the Leafs history.
What do the Marlies have, for fuck's sake?
Yeah, I know. So, but the Leafs in their playoff series, like Samsonov got hurt against in Florida, and they had to go to their third string goaltender, who's only played like 3 NHL games, and Joseph Woll, right? So it's like, that's not good, because they couldn't trust Matt Murray to play. Like, it was, you know, he was injured. So, at the end of the day, we'll see what the goaltending does. They've held up for the most part. Like, you know, Samsonov he was on waivers. He went to the minors. He's been good since he's come back. He's up for the Bill Masterson trophy but at the end of the day, their PK worries me right now, because it's horrendous. And I know Marner just got back, but they'll get Kelly Yarncroc back. He's going to be huge for them on their PK, but you know, again, he hasn't played in a while too. So you got to get him into some games before the regular season is done. I don't even think Ryan Reeves might not even dress, to be honest. So they're
be just fine, right, as a team?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think I rambled on too much there on that. So
you want to know my theory on the Leafs, Bosco?
Yeah, go ahead.
You were just talking like, you know, if this D-man's good, you know, if the goalie's good, if. As an outsider, when everybody hates the Leafs just because everybody's the Leafs fans, and it's annoying seeing the Leafs fans everywhere, but
yeah,
they're too top heavy, right? So no matter what happens, they're always, well, we're lacking at goalie, we're lacking at depth on defense, we're lacking here, we're lacking there. They can't fill the holes correctly to build a playoff team, as is. There's too much money on those top 4 forwards that there's not enough money to build a proper defense. Like, you have 4 goaltenders.
Yeah.
And you have 2 good defensemen. Like, that's not... No. I'm sorry. Like,
no,
maybe it'll work out. I hope it does, for your sake. But
you have to be sorry. It's just, it was not built right. I agree with you.
It is what it is. And that's not Tree Living's fault. It is. There's nothing you can do, right? They're too top heavy, right? They don't have enough depth to spread out amongst the certain roles that you need to be competitive to be an NHL contender.
Yeah. And that's just the way it works in Canada. Like, we know Leon Draisaitl's up for a new contract. Like, I'm not trying to just always come back to Edmonton, but, like, you know, Mitch Marner's in the same situation. Both him and Draisaitl can sign extensions come July 1st. Those extensions are $13 or $14 million to start, you know?
Yeah.
That's happening in Canada. Like, that's just the way it's going to work in Canada. Noah Hannafin.
That's what the market dictates. They should. They deserve that.
Yeah, you know. But you look at Tampa Bay, Kucherov, $8.5 million, you know, probably in any other market in Canada, you put that guy there, you know, he's a $13, $14 million player. So it's the rigors of playing in Canada, you know, that you gotta pay these guys, and the Stars dictate what they want at the end of the day. The Oilers can sit there and negotiate. Toronto can sit there.
There's no negotiating.
It's
what do you want? What do you want? Okay, sign here.
All right. All
how it works out. So regardless, like, obviously Draisaitl will resign, and this summer when he resigns, it's at least going to be $14 million, I would say, if not more. So
well deserved.
Yeah. And I'm all for players getting paid. So, cause it's a very short career that they would have in those terms. But Vandy, you want to have any quick thoughts on that?
Yeah. What's better? 100 assists, 70 goals.
Yeah.
I think
it's tough. Like, obviously not a lot of people have done the 100 assists. It looks like Kucherov and McDavid will do it this year, you know, but you know, Matthews is 2 away from 70. he's in the last 31 years tonight, he obviously set another record. It's been 31 years since a player scored 50 goals, even strength. So his goals tonight.
Oh shit. Really?
Yeah. 31 years since, so out of the 60,
amazing.
The 68, he's got,
who was the last player to do it?
I think it was Mario Lemieux, from what I understand.
You're telling me it was 68 goals, 50 of them are 5-on-5?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so incredible.
Yeah.
That is insane.
So, that was the last player to come close to that was Steven Stamkos with 48 in 2011-2012 in that season.
Wow.
So, Matthew.
And is that
that's
are you excluding him out of the conversation? Like, is he close to that in other years when he gets all the goals that he gets?
He's since he's broken into the NHL, he leads the NHL with even strength goals. So I think going into this season, I have to go back and look, but maybe you can just, I'm not good at math, but I know at the start of this year, he was 76 goals ahead of the next guy ahead of him since he's broke in. He's dominated 5-on-5. Wow. So 50 of the 68 are 5-on-5. So
that's incredible. I would have guessed like the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, right? tonight him scoring that last goal, the second one was number 50 for the 50th even strength goal. So that's in those terms, like, you know, you look at the data, like he's trending to surpass what Ovechkin's done. You know, Ovechkin's only ever scored 60 once in his career. Matthews has now done it twice. You know, it at their peak of their careers, going in, there were two goals off. Now Matthews has surpassed that. He's about, I think he's about 42 ahead of him. So throughout his career, you know, obviously everyone knows Ovechkin's the best goal scorer in the National Hockey League. He's going to pass Gretzky's record. But, you know, if Matthews continues this pace for the rest of his career, there's a good chance he probably either catches that or you know, maybe ties it or who knows. Obviously, health will be a big factor. Ovechkin's pretty much been healthy his whole career. He's missed more games to suspension than due to injury in his career. And obviously, we know Matthews, besides his first year in the National Hockey League, that's the only time he's ever played 82 games. Other than that, he's missed, you know, at least.
So you guys are both set. You guys think the 70-goal mark is harder
than that? I just think it's the hardest thing to do. It's the hardest thing to do in any sport of any level of hockey, you know.
So factoring in on 50% of the goals doesn't, because for me, it's 100 assists. You're factoring in on just about, what do they score? 250 goals a year is what an NHL team.
Yeah,
I mean, you're factoring in on half your team's
goals, yeah. I'm not going to say it's hard to even shoot that.
No, you can't Switzerland this. You can't be in the middle. You're either one or the other.
I would say like.
And you're a goal guy, which is fine.
I'm a goal guy just because it's a recency bias. Like I don't just only watch the Leaf games. I'll watch a Arizona Coyotes and Anaheim Ducks game too. But it's all I do at night. It's like I just, as soon as 5 o'clock hits, like I'm watching games until the last game. And hey,
hates me.
I got the tablet going. I got the computer going. I got the TV going.
That's not a hockey thing though.
Yeah.
Right.
It's probably a reason why I'm single. So, but. Anyways, I look at it that like, and the thing is where I tie back to is Matthews has had a lot of different line mates throughout the year and he's still producing at this level. And Paul Maurice did say it when the last time Florida and Toronto played each other, Matthews was around 60 some goals. And he just said, you know what? He's like, he scored this many goals. Like it was like 62 and he's like, no one's figured him out yet. So if no one's figured him out, how are we going to figure him out tonight? So
right.
Pretty much I think what it was, you had 60 goals in 74 games or 70 some games is what he was like. So he's like, and no one's figured him out yet. But, you know, his first goal was just crazy, but how you leave a guy that wide open in the slot. And then obviously the second goal is
that was crazy. Yeah. That was a good shot though.
It was,
but he was wide open.
He was wide open, but,
At
the end of the day, that's the playoffs has been different for him. So, and that's been the biggest knock. And anyone that listens to Oilers Now and anytime Bob Stauffer's on, he reminds us every single time the stats are completely different for Matthews in the playoffs. So compared to.
He's still really good, though. He's like a point
game guy. Yeah, he is. He is for sure. So, know, if he continues what he's doing now into, you know, and it's crazy, like talking tonight, they're like 40 goals last year. And that was an off year, like 40 goals for a National Hockey League player. And someone's saying that's an off year. That's quite wild. But I agree. You know, it's the hardest thing to do. So I'm going to go to that. But this MVP race is just going to be unreal too. Only three get on the ballot. And, you know, it seems like it could be recency bias and giving it to MacKinnon because he's never won one. Just imagine if MacKinnon doesn't win one this year and somehow when he retires, we say what a great player Nathan MacKinnon was, but he never won MVP. Like, just imagine how that conversation would go too. Like, how
in his world he goes, yeah, but I got a Stanley Cup,
and he probably would, yeah. If not, maybe has more, but
yeah. But Connor's getting one this year, so don't.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that later next week for a preview show. But, let's finish up on that. We've gone 2 hours. I don't think last time we've gone a 2 hour pod, but
we got without Rupp.
I know.
I think the last one, because Ruff's the long-winded one. I think it was me tonight. But
yeah. And then we had the malfunction where Vander Kane cut my internet off. So, but anyways, let's keep in touch, guys. Let's enjoy these games on the weekend here, and we'll be back next week for our playoff preview show. We'll try to get Jason Chimera, Vernon Fiddler on to help us out with that. So, looking forward to another roundtable with the guys. Or let's beg Rupper to get on, because we know he likes to have his.
No, we don't beg Rupper to do anything.
Last time he was on was Biz was on, so I might have to fool him and say Biz is coming back on. But anyways, you guys, I know he's busy. You guys are busy, so you'll have a good one. We'll chat very soon, guys.
Later.